drive. 61. Simon also decided to record the therapeutic sessions on tape, both for an accurate record and for probable use to bring the material into consciousness under controlled conditions. During hypnosis, the incidents described in the trance can be wiped from conscious memory. Conversely, on instruction from the doctor, they can be recalled. For the most real reproduction of the trance experience, the patient can listen to his own voice on tape and analyze it with the doctor, step by step. The reality or non-reality of the dreams was of course foremost in Betty's mind. For nearly 2 years now, the answer to this question had been gnawing away at her. For Bianni, as he had already told Betty, he was hoping that for once and for all she would accept the fact that her experience in regard to an abduction was no more than an intense series of dreams. The trauma of the low-level sighting on Route 3 was enough for Bianni to carry the incident on to the possible abduction. Just the thought of it was more than he cared to think about. To the doctor, the uniqueness of the story remained nothing more than the background against which he would have to work. Barney and Betty Hill, like most laymen, had only a smattering of knowledge about hypnosis. Dr. Simon explained to them that the process was a close relationship between the doctor and the patient, in which the Hills would be brought into a condition like sleep. There would be no danger of harm to them. They should have nothing to fear. In a lecture some years ago to the New York Academy of Medicine, Hypnosis, Fact and Fancy, Dr. Simon covered the entire field of hypnosis and its function in medical and psychiatric practice, pointing out that only in the last several decades has hypnosis received significant attention as a medical practice. Who can hypnotize? Who can be hypnotized? Who cannot be hypnotized? Dr. Simon asked in the lecture. Any intelligent adult with appropriate knowledge of technique can hypnotize. Any intelligent adult and most children above the age of 7 can be hypnotized. In fact, children are more easily hypnotized than adults. Very psychotic individuals and the mentally retarded are very resistant to hypnosis. Most of these cannot be hypnotized. Only about 20% can be brought to the THI road or somnambulistic stage. 95% of hypnotizable persons can attain the first stage, but will plays no part whatever in hypnosis, and the belief that hypnotizability is a manifestation of a weak will is false. The factors which influence 62, hypnotizability are the intelligence of the individual, his conscious willingness, and the degree of unconscious resistance or submissiveness. The latter are not always manifest on the surface. Contrary to the common fears of the public, termination of the hypnotic state is not generally a problem. Universally, the suggestion for waking results in waking. There need be only the added suggestion of feelings of comfort and freedom from anxiety. In the rare instances where the subject does not wake on suggestion, if left alone he will fall into a natural sleep and wake up in a matter of hours. Sometimes drugs such as sodium emetal or pentothal are used to facilitate induction of the hypnotic state where the patient is unduly resistant. Under these conditions, the waking period will be delayed by the effect of the drug, but the suggestions given during the induction will be carried out as post-hypnotic suggestions. The two aforementioned drugs are of some value in difficult inductions and will help relax the apprehensive patient and increase his suggestibility. There are generally described three stages of hypnosis: light, medium, and heavy. In the light stage, catalepsy of the eyelids, inability to open the eyes at will, can be produced on suggestion, and a certain degree of general suggestibility is present. Post-hypnotic suggestions may be given, and a great deal of treatment can be accomplished. In the medium stage, paralysis of volitional control of the larger muscles, i.e., of the body may be produced major catalepsy. In this stage, analgesia, insensitivity to pain, may be successfully suggested. In the third stage, or somnambulistic stage, almost any phenomenon can be produced, and the patient will be amnesic unless he is definitely told to recall the trance state. This was to play an important part in the treatment of the Hills. Positive or negative hallucinations may be induced, and post-hypnotic suggestions given in this somnambulistic stage will be very effective. Activity of the autonomic nervous system manifested by blushing, constriction of skin vessels, and slowing of the pulse can be produced. There is conflict among authorities on this matter, but there are reports of actual blistering by the suggestion of intense heat. Dr. Simon closed the lecture by stating his conviction that hypnosis should not be used in any field beyond research, medical practice and dentistry. He also added, "Hypnosis has gone through many periods of enthusiastic acceptance and then ensuing rejection, as have some of our modern trends in psychiatry. There is no doubt that these symptoms, those removed by hypnosis, tend to recur or to be replaced by more distressing symptoms, unless the underlying emotional conflict, of which the symptoms are manifestations, is resolved. Unless the physician can be sure that he will be able to continue treatment of the patient after the removal of the symptoms should not be removed by hypnosis." Middle.h.163. Many question whether a forcible breakthrough of resistance, such as that which is provided by hypnosis, is a desirable approach. In a variety of conditions, hysterical, psychosomatic and others, hypnosis may help to shorten the time of therapy by facilitating the approach to unconscious conflicts, as has been described. Hypnosis has dangers and yet it is not dangerous. The essential dangers lie in its use by those not bound by some code of ethics, and who are not adequately trained. A. Profs, as the Hills were to discover, they were incautious, medically conservative bands. With the doctor's basic attitude neutral to the UFO subject, if not prejudiced against it, they were to run into a stiff test of whatever beliefs they now had as a result of their experience at Indian Head. Betty, in spite of her growing interest in the phenomenon, was willing to accept the truth of the matter, whatever it was. Barney, hopeful to clear up the anxiety symptoms that were seriously disturbing his life, was at the point where he wanted above all for the truth to come out, regardless of what it was. None of them were to realize that the truth was so elusive, even with the desire and the most advanced means to find it. Chapter 5 with the Hills story and Walter Webb's 6-page report in hand, Dr. Simon found himself interested in the uniqueness of the case and the unusual date accompanying it. The story, to all appearances, seemed reliable and valid. He noted that Webb's detailed opinion was based on an interview shortly after the incident, and the impact of it on the Hills was still evident 2 years later. While Dr. Simon's concerns were centered around the problem of the Hills' anxiety symptoms, he was aware that the unidentified flying object aspect might add a new dimension to the case. As far as the existence or non-existence of the phenomenon itself, the doctor took a neutral position. Since hypnosis is the method of choice for the rapid opening of an amnesia, and may be, as Dr. Simon expresses it, the key to the locked room, he planned to use it as a part of the therapeutic procedure. The sighting of the unidentified object had built itself into one of tremendous importance to the Hills, and the condition of aroused and concentrated during World War II, hypnosis and narcosynthesis, narcoanalysis, were used rather extensively and often interchangeably in the treatment of acute psychiatric disorders. Hypnosis was most effectively used where there was a point of departure as, like an amnesia. Narcosynthesis was used most frequently to release the anxiety associated with mental conflicts below the surface of consciousness where a focal point was not so clearly apparent. This was accomplished by the slow injection of a drug, usually sodium amytal or sodium pentothal, the so-called truth serums. They were neither serum nor did they necessarily produce the inviolable truth. They did, as did hypnosis, help in the discharge of repressed or suppressed emotional conflicts. 65. Attention produced by hypnosis might throw some additional light on their experience. At 8 in the morning, on Saturday, January 4, 1964, the Hills arrived at the doctor's office on BA State Road for their first regular visit after the initial consultation. It was to be the first of three sessions in which the doctor would repeatedly induce hypnosis, as a conditioning process. During these sessions, Both of the hills responded well, and the doctor was satisfied that they would be good subjects, able to attain the depth of trance desired. The repetition of the process over the 3-week period would serve to reinforce the induction and to establish specific post-hypnotic cue words to replace future induction procedures. In this way, the subsequent inductions would be quick and sure. In exploring the amnesia, both the doctor and the patients would be going up a blind alley, and the reinforcement of the hypnosis would make it possible to maintain good control in the face of possible emotional disturbances that can arise in such an exploration. Barney's nervousness increased somewhat as he prepared to undergo hypnosis for the first time. Dr. Simon stood him by the large desk in the office, placed his hands at his side, and stood near him, in front of the desk and just in front of a comfortable chair. Dr. Simon began talking to me. Barney described the process, telling me that I was relaxing, and he had me clasp my hands together, and that they would be tight, tight, very tight, that I couldn't open them no matter how hard I tried. And I was standing there feeling very, very foolish, because I thought if this is hypnosis, there is nothing to it. I'm just humoring the M-man. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I think he stopped and placed his hands over my eyes so that they would close. I said to myself that I wasn't really hypnotized, and when he told me that I couldn't pull my hands apart, I knew that all I had to do was open my fingers, and I could do it. But I just didn't feel like opening my fingers. I didn't even feel I was asleep. But then I was aware that he was waking me up and asking me how I felt. And I felt very, very good, very calm and comfortable. And I no longer then had any fear of hypnosis. As so often happens, the patient feels he is humoring the operator, pretending to be cooperative, and without his knowing it, he moves into a deep trance with no knowledge or memory of what happened, unless the 66 operator tells him he can remember. The two simple cue words creating rapid induction were repeated several times during the early sessions, along with tests to check the validity and depth of the trance. These are some of the customary tests used for this purpose, instructing that the patient's arm be stiff as a bar of steel, it remains so, testing for insensitivity to pain, when it is suggested, the patient does not react to the stimulus given, instructing the patient that the operator's finger will feel like a hot poker when it touches, the subject will pull his hand away in pain, even though the pain is only suggestion, and others. Since the time of Mesmer, the use of hypnosis in medicine has gone through many cycles of popularity. Brewer found that his patients were able to recall specific traumatic events through hypnosis. In part because he found that not everyone could be hypnotized, Freud developed the psychoanalytic method. The present medical attitude is reflected by Louis A. Wahlberg, M.D., medical director of the Postgraduate Center for Psychotherapy, New York City, and clinical professor of psychiatry of the New York Medical College. He has described hypnosis as a state of being suspended like a hammock between consciousness and sleep. It should be used in a treatment plan, particularly when a patient is unable to verbalize freely, or when strong repressions bottle up highly charged material. When a patient has repressed traumatic memories, he once told a medical symposium, he may seal these memories off so effectively that it may not be possible to get to them with traditional techniques. Sometimes with hypnosis one can cut through repression enough to bring up traumatic memories. With Barney and Betty Hill, this aspect of the hypnotic process would be important. The opening up of amnesia requires the use of time regression, wherein the patient's memory becomes vivid and exact details long forgotten to the conscious mind emerge sharply. It is not unusual for a person in hypnosis to recall the name and color of the eyes of everyone at his 5th birthday party, if so requested, even if that might have taken place decades before. There is also the tendency to relive, recreate and reenact the time segment being recalled, so that the subject again goes through emotions involved in the original experience, a process referred to as abreaction. The physician must always be cognizant that in bringing to light unconscious memories and feelings, these may be intolerable to the patient and could lead to serious after-reactions. At times, the subject may emerge from the trance if he feels threatened, he may refuse to go further, or as in 67, Barney Hill's case, he may plead to be taken out of the trance without emerging on his own. Often, when the emotional release, or abreaction, comes, the patient feels measurable relief. The doctor's control of the patient during hypnosis is essential. This was to be demonstrated later as the sessions continued. Barney Hill, in spite of some apprehension, was fascinated by the process. After the first test, Barney Hill recalls, a curious thing happened. As I got ready for the induction into hypnosis, I looked at my watch. It must have been 5 minutes after eight. And he gave me the key word, and I was hypnotized. And as far as time was concerned, I thought he was waking me immediately. But I looked at my watch, and it was after nine. I must have been without consciousness for an hour, and yet it seemed no time at all. I recalled also, just at the beginning of what must have been the trance, that he had poked my hand with something that felt like the bristle of a brush. I asked him if I could see this done. So the doctor put me in a trance again, and told me to open my eyes in the trance and that I would remember this part of it. Then he took a needle-like instrument and pushed it against my hand, and there was no pain associated with this, except perhaps like a bristle of a brush. In fact, he put considerable pressure on it, and I could feel no pain at all. And I was amazed at that, because I looked at my skin, and the needle that had penetrated my skin, and there wasn't any blood. So I began to realize that there were two things that could happen here. One, I could be hypnotized and made to forget that I had been hypnotized so that I would awaken and would assume that I hadn't been hypnotized at all. Two, I could be hypnotized and if hypnosis. In spite of Barney Hill's excellent response to the initial induction, Dr. Simon resolved to stay with his plan of two more sessions, during which Barney and Betty would become more reinforced in the process so that a deep trance would be reached quickly and the hypnosis could continue without interruption. As with Barney, the doctor found that Betty H. Hill was also an exceptionally good subject. She would, he found, go into a deep trance easily and respond completely both to the TRANS and to the post-hypnotic suggestions without faltering. With both subjects CL early responding to the induction, the doctor, I, was told I could, remember, I would retain a knowledge of all that had taken place under, 68, could now continue with future sessions simply by stating the established cue words that would produce the trance. He would, however, play safe by repeated deep trance inductions. The doctor further tested the Hills during the three preliminary sessions with various post-hypnotic suggestions, such as asking them, 3 minutes after they were awakened, to smoke a cigarette which would taste so bad that they would have to crush it out. They would be offered another and told that it would be fine, which of course it was. He instructed them, always separately, because this would be the method he would be using in the later sessions, that they would not remember anything whatever they revealed under hypnosis, unless they were directed to. Until Dr. Simon had the whole story and could assess its emotional effect, he was careful to make sure that the amnesia was reinstated after each session. This also had the desirable effect of preventing communication between the Hills after the sessions that were to follow, avoiding distortions that might arise from their discussing the material revealed under hypnosis. Later, the memory of what came out under hypnosis would be made available to both, through tape recordings or by directing them to remember at a time when this would be therapeutically desirable. The doctor planned to take Barney first, regress him to the night of September 19th, 1961, and have him reveal every detail of the trip down from Canada to Portsmouth. Since the trance would provide details of marked clarity, there was a reasonable expectation that Barney would bridge the amnesic gap under hypnosis. The blocking off of his memory after each session would permit Betty to give her own story in later sessions without being influenced by Barney. Frequently, when a subject is in a deep trance, He cannot recall what has happened during the session when he is brought back into consciousness at the direction of the operator. However, he can recall the material if he is instructed by the operator to do so. With the tests and induction period over after the third session, the Hales looked forward to the start of the therapeutic sessions, with the hope that once and for all the mystery at Indian Head would be cleared up. They were both comfortable and relaxed about the whole hypnotic process now. In fact, they almost enjoyed its after effects. "I can just describe it," Barney recalls, "greater than as if it were like getting into a hot tub of water and soaking, as if every nerve in my body would be pleasant and tingling. It was something I had never been able to, achieve before. Just a tingling, pleasant glow, just like a rubdown." But both of them knew that the serious business was about to begin, that a long job lay ahead of them in their search for an end to the anxieties that had been upsetting their lives for so many months. The Hills arrived at the usual early morning hour at Dr. Simon's office on February 22, 1962, Betty realizing that she would merely be going to have her induction reinforced, and Barney ready to make his excursion into the unknown. The doctor's procedure was clear for this session. After he reinforced Betty, the simple process of rehypnotizing her so that she would maintain her capacity for the deep trance state, when the time for her sessions came later, he would have Barney go back to the night of the journey and retrace it in detail. A psychologically determined amnesia is commonly the loss of memory for painful ideas or experiences that serves to keep them out of consciousness. Through the concentration of attention brought on by hypnosis, the opposite of amnesia is often created: hypomnesia, or superlative memory. In this session, it was hoped that not only would the forgotten material be recalled, but that the accompanying emotions would be re-experienced. To bring back the recall without the emotions would not serve adequately from the therapeutic point of view. For the tape recording of the sessions, Dr. Simon used a Revere M2 automatic cartridge loading recorder at 1 7/8 IPS. The cartridges were not only long playing, but they could be stacked ahead of time so that there would be a minimum of interruption during the sessions. Where an interruption was necessary, the procedure was simple. The doctor would simply tap Barney on the bead, tell him that B would bear no sound whatsoever during the intermission period, and then tap him on the head again to continue. A subject under hypnosis has such accuracy of recall and retention that he will continue at the exact point left off, even if he is in the middle of a sentence. The recall and reliving not only approaches the accuracy of a tape recording, but it may be turned on and off at will at the instruction of the operator. Further, the subject will take the instructions and questions of the operator in a literal sense. If asked a question, "Did you talk to this man?" the subject may respond by saying, "No, I did not talk to this man, I whispered to him." The preciseness of the response is marked. 70. Barney took his seat in front of the doctor's desk. He started to reach for a cigarette, but on the cue words from Dr. Simon, his eyes closed, and his head nodded. His hands were folded across his lap. He looked like anyone who had dozed over his morning paper while he sat in an easy chair. The deep trance was induced, and satisfying himself that Barney was fully in the trance state, the doctor began the session. "Doctor, he is completing his reinforcement of the trance. You are deeper and deeper asleep. Deep asleep. You will remember everything now, and you will tell me everything." "Barney, yes. Doctor, and I want you to tell me in full detail all your experiences, all of your thoughts, and all your feelings, beginning with the time you left your hotel. Were you in Montreal?" Barney, his voice on the tape is now amazingly flat, monotonous, and trance-like in contrast to his animated tones of normal conversation. He responds to the doctor's questions with bluntness, with little inflection, in a curious monotone, and with measured preciseness. "We did not stay in Montreal. We stayed in a motel." "Doctor, you stayed in a motel. What was the name of it?" "Barney, in another city." "Doctor, yes, where did you stay?" "Barney, I can't seem to remember." "Doctor, it was near Montreal?" 71. Barney, it was approximately 112 miles from Montreal. The attention to detail here is interesting, linking the word approximately with such an exact mileage figure. Doctor, is there any reason why you can't remember it? There must be some reason. In such a deep trance, a subject usually recalls many details. Barney, we arrived at night at this motel, and I did not notice any name in the motel. The reason comes out, as expected. Doctor, I see. Do you know what the city was? Barney, it was not a city, it was out in the country. We had been driving from Niagara Falls through Canada. Doctor, KEP right on. Tell me about your arrival there. Barney, we arrived in this small area, we did not see any town marks, and my car was making a lot of noise. It was Betty's car that we were driving. IW as driving the car. Dot. The precision. The almost cumbersome exactness of the pH rays is typical of a deep trance state. And I stopped at a service station and they told me the car had not been properly greased. And so they greased the car and this eliminated the noise that the car was making. We then decided we could not continue to Montreal and that we should look for a place to sleep overnight. And that's when I saw this motel, and did not pay any attention to the name. Lie is agar in explore in ng why he could not remember the name. 1/Elul also him instructed to relate all his thoughts as well as his actions. 72. The thoughts that were going through my mind were, would they accept me? Because they might say they were filled up, and I wondered if they were going to do this, because I was prejudiced. Doctor, because you were prejudiced. Barney, dot. Because they were prejudiced. Doctor, because you were a Negro? Barney, because I am a Negro. Doctor, you've run into that before, I take it? Barney, I have not actually run into being denied a place of accommodation. Doctor, you mean you just worry about it? Barney, but I do know that this does happen, and I was concerned because I was getting tired. And when I went to this place, they immediately accepted me. It cost us $1.02 for the two of us, and we stayed overnight. Doctor, did you express your concern to your wife? Does she share it? Barney, she does not share my concern about this matter. Doctor, did you express it to her, or did you keep it to yourself? Barney, I do express them to her. Doctor, did you on that night? 73. Barney, I did not. I never express them to her when we are seeking a place. Doctor, I see. All right. Go on. Barney, we had a little dog with us, and we were told it was a nice little Dachshund-type dog, and we could have her in the motel unit. He is, of course, referring to their dog Dulcie, describing her in literal terms. The next morning we got out bright and early, and there was a restaurant across the street. And we decided to eat breakfast. I had my grapefruit, ham, eggs, coffee. We then are driving along this wide highway. It's a new road, it's a beautiful road. It's four lanes in certain sections. Again, the desire shows itself to fill in every detail, inconsequential or not. I am coming into Montreal, and I do not particularly like the thoughts of staying here. Doctor, why not? Barney, it's a big city. There's much confusion, there are a lot of trucks on the road. There's quite an amount of traffic. It's building up, and I don't want to stay in Montreal with all this traffic. I have difficulty in keeping the highway route number I want. Traffic is everywhere. And I decide that we should find a motel if we are going to stay overnight. To my chagrin, ALL motels are located quite a distance, or to me, I think a distance from the city. And I am riding, we are riding around, and I see a few Negroes, and I am amazed. I had not realized we were Negroes in Montreal. And I am quite a distance away from the downtown section, and LL the buildings have roughly stairways on the outside of the buildings. And I pull over to a service station, and ask how route. and he doesn't understand English. Me, I can t back to my understand, I realize he doesn't. Hamsi speaks in the present tense. M1, indication of the full weeks, periencing of the events, rather than the recounting of them. 71, so I put $2 worth of gas in the car and drive off. I locate a policeman directing traffic.